The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio. Coming to you each week on the Internet on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. For those of you who are new to our show, we rotate through about 25 different growth strategies, one each week. This show is intended for entrepreneurs, presidents, business owners who have an existing company that's not necessarily focused on startups or really large corporations. It's those of us who've been in business for a while and are working really hard and wonder where the growth is. And it's time for us to look at some of the other strategies that some successful people have tried and learn some new techniques, because a number of us just keep trying to perfect the techniques we've already been using. So one week we'll talk about franchising, another week we'll talk about geographic expansion, another week we'll talk about equity deals or joint ventures. Different each week. And in the 13 weeks that we will be on this winter, we have people from 13 different states across 10 different industries, male and female, and it's very exciting. I've only asked people that I respect and people who are very bright and trying some good things. Some are resource people, but most are entrepreneurs that are living the dream and are doing the growth strategies that we're talking about. Today's topic is going to be on improving sales. Okay, now I know that sounds funny. We want growth for our businesses, so what we need to do is improve our sales, increase our sales, right? Well, I find that a number of people say they want to have growth, they say they want sales, and all their options are to nag their salespeople more, or to have the one guy or gal that started the company be the only salesperson, or to just keep going after the same customers in the same way, and never really look at sales management, or incentives, or a tracking system, or how do you recruit salespeople in a different way, or how do you really figure out the compensation once and for all. I have just seen so many nightmares, it's just amazing. So what I did is I went through my list of resources, and I knew exactly who I wanted to bring on the show. Colleen Stanley is with us today. She is the president and founder of Sales Leadership out of Colorado, USA. And she was formerly with Varsity Spirit Corporation, where I believe she went and doubled their sales, and she supervised quite a large group of salespeople, and now she's out there really teaching what integrated business development is all about, through a combination of needs assessments and consulting and training and speaking and writing. Busy lady. So, Colleen, are you there today?
I sure am, Aldana. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Well, very good. I'm glad we have a good connection. I'm delighted that you're on the program today. I thought this first segment of our program, we should talk about what you call pain comments. Isn't it something like that?
We call it the pain concepts, pain statements.
Yeah.
We're meeting with business owners, some of the concerns that they have in growing high-performance sales teams.
Mm-hmm. Like what? What do you mean by a pain statement?
Well, you know, we'll hear, it'll be across the board, but here are some of the typical ones we'll hear. It may be when they're getting ready to hire or add on to their sales team. They're concerned that the person they interviewed is different than the one they're hired. They're wondering how they can reproduce that top producer. So there's always that golden star in there. They're thinking, gosh, maybe I just got lucky on this one.
Or if they had a star in the initial person and then they tried to hire the same way the next time and ended up with a dud.
Yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden they're going, I don't have a science to reproduce this.
Maybe cloning, huh?
Called cloning, and there's a way to do it subjectively and objectively.
I should add that to my growth strategy, cloning.
You may want to.
What other pain statements do you hear?
Well, you know, the second piece we'll hear a lot about is obviously the sales goal. They're not hitting their sales goals. Mm-hmm. But when we take a deeper look at that, usually through doing a needs assessment, it might be because it's not that they have the wrong salesperson on board. They simply haven't given them good direction on territory planning, account management. They might have the wrong compensation program in place. So mm-hmm. The person's actually doing what they're being compensated for. And then the third area we hear a lot of concern about is in the leadership area. Many people have started the company sometimes in our arena, the world we play in of sales, they've been top sales producers, but now they're put in this leadership management role. And there's a whole different skill sets on leading and managing than actually going out and being a personal producer. Yeah, that's one of the pain points I hear in clients is a person will complain to me about, I don't know what I'm doing. I used to know how to sell. I could get customers. And I've got these people I'm supposed to direct and I don't know what I'm doing. Correct. And for those that are listening, that's a pretty common concern we hear. And one of the biggest things we'll teach them is, you know, before they were getting done through efforts of their own. Now if they're going to achieve success, sales goals, it's getting things done through others. Mm-hmm. Whole different set of competencies and skills needed there. Well, another pain or complaint or a whine that salespeople seem to do is, I don't understand the need for all this paperwork. This is ridiculous. I just want to get on the phone. I'll go visit people. I know I have this all in my head. Let me just leave me alone. I don't want to do paperwork. Is that one of the ones you hear a lot?
Correct.
And you know, this is an area that I can speak out of both sides of my mouth. There are times when firms are requiring too much paperwork. So you've got to take a look at what do you really need and why do you need it. But here's what we've found is a lot of times isn't really opposed to doing the paperwork. They just never receive any feedback on it. Mm-hmm. So they have no idea why they're turning in a call report, what's the use, is it being used, etc. So you have to really connect the dots for them that if you're asking for information, let them know that you received it, you've looked at it, what it's being used for.
That they've gotten sales reports from their salespeople, call sheets, and you can tell they're just checking off that they've called somebody or voicemail, and they may have not done it, or they're just trying to cover their butts. They really haven't made the effort, and they're just doing, you know, if their quota for the day was 30 calls or 90 calls, they're just checking it off to keep the boss off their butt.
Right. And that goes back to a kind of a key principle you have to look at in good management. What was the expectation that was set? Mm-hmm. And if making 30 calls was the expectation, they met that expectation. Mm-hmm. If the expectation was making calls until you touched base with 30 qualified prospects, then that expectation was met. So it usually goes back to, was it clearly set? And then what mechanism do you have in place to make sure it's happening? Sometimes the second reason that they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they simply may not know how to do it. Often we see sales teams getting on the phone. They've had no prospecting script, no referral strategies. So they're doing the wing-it approach and not having much success with it. So since I live in Colorado, I'll use the ski example. It's kind of like having someone go on a black diamond slope and you haven't mastered a green slope yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I hear salespeople say is that they actually hate cold calls. And that their company doesn't have adequate marketing to give them warm leads, and so they're set out. They're just, you know, they're stranded. They're supposed to be
right.
And identify with it. So, why I wanted to do this list was for you to hear the interconnection between and the interdependence between what the marketing people are doing and what the sales people are doing and what the system people are doing and what the managers are doing and what the recruiters are doing. If you haven't really thought about how it all links together. The pain is going to be expressed through the salespeople. It's going to be expressed through whining or complaints or, you know, beating on the salespeople saying, get out there and sell something. We can't do anything until you sell something. That's just a symptom of something that's bigger. When we get back from the break, we will talk to Colleen Stanley about, okay, so now you got pain, now what? We'll be right back.
Business talk is all we do. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is only as good as its execution. On CIO Talk Radio, host Sung Jo Gal will interview CIOs, CTOs, and other decision makers about their insights in dealing with technology. Learn directly from these subject matter experts on how to get the best returns out of your investment in IT. Know ahead of time what problems and challenges you face in executing IT strategies in the real world. If you are a technology manager, consultant, or advisor, you cannot afford to miss out on what today's technology thought leaders have to say about today's most urgent IT issues. Listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sung Jo Gal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio. Welcome back. For those of you joining us for the first time, we rotate through various growth strategies, including things like franchising, geographic expansion, and joint ventures. And today, we're talking about improving sales process. What a concept. Actually going to increase sales to grow, huh? And we have invited Colleen Stanley of Sales Leadership of Denver, Colorado, USA. Hello, Colleen.
Hi, how
are
you?
Welcome back. Well, last segment we talked about what some of the symptoms are, the whining and the pain points. And let me get a little bit of information about you. How do you know so much? What's your background?
I've had the good fortune of being in sales and sales management for the last, 25 years.
You're getting old, huh?
I'm getting old. You know, gray hairs are sprouting out and all these good things.
You don't look it, though.
Well, it's the oil of Olay or something like that. I don't know.
Get them as a sponsor now that you've mentioned them.
But, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to the firm I was with prior to this, Varsity Spirit Corporation, and it was one of those homegrown firms. I was fortunate to be with them in the early startup years, mm-hmm. and they have now grown to a $200 million company, but went through all the startup phases on trying to, as you've talked about, getting operations to speak to sales, to speak to marketing, and we grew a sales team from 5 to over 130 representatives.
So you've been through that.
Been through, yes, as the pain of growing a company, but also the wonderful excitement of it and the great opportunities you have when you're growing up with a company like that.
So what made you start SalesLeadershipDevelopment.com and, you know, Sales Leadership, Inc.?
Well, I had been with Varsity for about 10 years, and it was a wonderful ride, but at that point I felt like I was starting to get to be more of a general manager than a sales manager. And the piece I always loved was the training portion of it. I liked riding with the reps, training the reps, and so really made the decision to go into the business full-time. Had always loved Colorado, had managed this area directly at one time, so took that leap of faith like many people in Colorado, moved out here, didn't know anyone. And
where were you before?
I was in Memphis, Tennessee, where our corporate
office.
Oh,
big change, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, and so moved out here 8 years ago and got started in the business of sales consulting and training.
Mm-hmm. And it isn't just training. I've heard you give excellent speeches. I see your articles in the Business Journal.
Yeah, it's like what we teach our clients. There needs to be a wide spectrum when you're building a business. So, earlier, Aldana, you talked about prospecting, and sometimes people just think that's pure cold calling. Well, prospecting is marketing. It's referral strategies. It's networking. It's associations. It's talks. It's publishing. it's really spreading your net wide. And I think to be a good sales professional today, good business professional, you have to become accomplished at some skills that maybe you didn't know you had or develop those skills.
Well, it's like me with the radio program. I'm trying to reach as many entrepreneurs as I can to really look at their growth strategies, and this is just yet another medium to get people to think.
Right.
So now let's look back to some of those pain points that we were talking about. If you're, let's say you do a speech or you've written an article or whatever, and somebody comes up to you and they hit you with one of those pain points, like, we're just not hitting our sales goals this year. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know what? We really practice what we preach, because you can't look at the obvious. You know, maybe an overused example here is a doctor analogy, but we really need to do an overall assessment. Many times in the sales world, when someone's not hitting their sales goal, they will throw a solution at it. So they'll throw sales training at it. Now, believe me, that's an important facet of business development. But the problem might be this. Maybe they just have the wrong compensation program. They might have the wrong people on board. Or, frankly, they've promoted someone in management who actually could be good in management. They're just lacking the training and coaching skills.
Doesn't it seem like an awful lot of people have blind spots when it comes to sales, even more areas? There's more of a tendency to self-diagnose and say, it must be this, and jump to a conclusion and want to throw maybe a training program at it as a quick fix.
Yes, and it might be a little bit of the nature of the beast that goes into sales. Many of the people that go into sales are what we call high drivers. They make decisions quickly. They like to move at a fast pace.
Oh.
Planning isn't their forte. So many times what you have to do is slow them down to that non-fun area, as most people, until they realize the fun comes because you're making greater profits, and have them take a look at every aspect of their sales strategy.
Now, so, I would imagine people are reluctant to do that because, you know, they'll hear a consultant say, I'm going to hit you with an assessment, and they think it's analysis paralysis, and it's going to take forever, and it costs them a lot. You must run into some resistance to that. No?
Well, you can. It always goes back to practice what you preach. So some of the philosophy we have is you've got to have agreements on the front end. The assessment is only one piece of it. Implementation and execution is where most companies fall down. So you've got to know which gap to work on first. So, for example, an easy one to talk about might be you may have a great product. It's a need-to-have product. Everyone's selling it. You're beating your competitor. But if you don't have the right people on board, you're not going to maximize your growth. On the other hand, you might have the right people on
board. Okay, wait a minute. Let's look at why you're even wanting to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you considering Europe? Let's back up to where that came from.
Correct.
And what's the purpose of growth, and what are they trying to get from it? And I have to look at management, marketing, and finance and all of it pretty quickly, though. I mean, that way we're very similar. If we get lost in too much detail in the analysis phase, you know, people are going to get frustrated, lose interest, get worried. So we have to do it rather fast. And one of the reasons you're on the radio program is that I find you to be very insightful, very organized, and very practical in what you do, and that, you know, a client would not be lost in your assessment process. They're going to get some solid answers fast.
You know, and I think that's a little bit, Eldonna, from my background. I'll always say we combine the best of what I call street smarts.
Yeah.
And I would say that was my years of growing up at varsity, and then the classical training that I've received as a, quote, consultant training expert. So combining the two pieces there, because I think all of us can get caught up in the latest and greatest trend, and sometimes good old-fashioned business is just that, getting back to the basics but making sure you've got all your basics covered.
So let's say you go in and you do an assessment for a company that's about $10 million,
mm-hmm.
and your conclusion is that, wait a minute, let's not get into the territories and the goals yet. These guys really haven't figured out what is the best salesperson for them. What's the best fit for their culture?
Mm-hmm.
Do they need rainmakers, or do they need, you know, hunters and gatherers, you know, all these different phrases
Correct.
That people have for the different salespeople? Do you actually start with talking to them about the profile of an optimum salesperson for them?
Well, we actually even back up one more step. We will actually back up and look at the job, and we call it building a robot. So we will take a look at the job for that company.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at three things when we're looking at the job. What are the thinking skills, cognitive skills required for success? What's the behavior style that this job is going to require? Is it going to require a real fast pace, or is it going to require more steady, methodical? Makes a difference if it's route sales or a high complex, high ticket item. And then
you're
also,
saying you actually think that. Now this is going to sound negative about salespeople, but I find a lot of my clients are like hiring the next warm body because they're worried that there really aren't enough salespeople out there. And if they heard you say you're really looking for high cognitive skills, analysis, and ability to communicate, they shut down and say, yeah, right, and, you know, if I can find that, then we can all grow. You don't find skeptics when you start talking about cognitive skills?
Well, they're skeptical simply because it's a little bit we don't know what we don't know. So mm-hmm. it's the first time maybe they've even heard of putting a system to hiring. I find, and as you said, our businesses are very complementary. People have systems for finance, accounting, warehouse, shipping, inventory, even marketing. They very seldom have a system for hiring, recruitment, and retention. So they seem to think that you can't put a system or a science to the selection process, and you definitely can't. You never take the people portion out of it, but you can put something very systematic in there to ensure that you're getting the right hire for that job, your culture, at the life cycle your company is at right now.
Now, do you use some of those traditional assessment tools, or do you have another approach that you find works best?
We combine what I call both subjective and objective. Subjective meaning this, I'm going to run a behavior-based interview, and if managers don't have that skill set, that might be one of the first areas that we take a look at, giving them that skill set. But subjectively, I want to make sure that they are connecting with the person they're interviewing. Now, too often, companies just base their total hiring on, gee, the first 5 minutes I liked the person or didn't like them. So they don't know how to conduct a good interview and get that subjective data. But then the objective data is the scientific assessment tool. And that's where I'm going to take the emotion out, the bias out, and let a scientific data read to me, here's what you've got in front of you. Then we combine both pieces of data to ensure that we've got a good hire.
Now, is this something you do or the client does through your instruction or a combination?
It's a combination, especially when we're building, quote, the robot the first time. They need to be involved in what's this job take, what's your culture, what is this person going to be accountable for. Many times we see where they've got these lengthy job descriptions, and this person's responsible for 15 things. We really narrow it down to, at the end of the year, what are the top three things this salesperson must accomplish, and are they measurable, definable? And it's amazing.
Okay, now for us to stay on schedule here, we're going to take a station identification.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about what it takes to recruit and retain these excellent salespeople. And this is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
One aspect of the American dream is a safe and decent place to live that fits within each person's financial capabilities. Based on the individual and the community, home may have very many different meanings. For details on housing issues, log on and listen to Let's Talk Affordable Housing with Ginger McGuire every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business. Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio. And for those of you who are just joining us, you'll notice that we are rotating through different growth strategies each week. One week it'll be franchising, and the next week it'll be strategic alliances or joint ventures, and this week we're talking about improving sales. What a concept, huh? You're going to go for growth, and you're actually going to do it through increasing sales. And our guest today is Colleen Stanley of Sales Leadership Incorporated of Denver, Colorado, USA. And so far we've talked about how do you match some of the candidates for the positions in sales with your organization. Why don't we make a little bit of a segue towards how do you retain them? Let's say you have gone through this process of really figuring out the job description and matching them. How do you retain some of these talented folks, Colleen?
Well, you know, that's a question that we could spend the next hour on, which we won't, but let me take one area, and that would be the leadership that you've got on board. You know, people don't report to a job, they report to a person. So one of the areas when you're looking at retaining people is to make sure you've got the right leadership in place. Is this the person that is going to be an effective sales manager? Do they understand the individual motivation each type of salesperson takes? Are they giving feedback? Is the person well-equipped to do training and coaching? You know, my personal belief is, and the companies I've worked with that are investing a lot in their sales teams, their managers also invest a lot of time, they train, they coach, and this person gets better. And I believe you want to stay in an organization where you're feeling good about yourself and you're getting better as a professional. The other thing for companies to take a look at is what's their recognition and reward program? Salespeople, for the most part, thrive on recognition. Do you have a good program in place? Is it one that's public? Is it one that's immediate? You've got two types, really, the immediate and consistent. And then maybe at the end of the year, you're wrapping up with a national sales meeting and various awards where each person can win. So there's a lot of different ways to retain people. Fun. You know, salespeople like to have fun. I often say we're hitting our sales quotas, but are we hitting our fun quotas anymore?
Colleen, know some of my clients have expressed a frustration that in sales it's a bottomless pit, and they feel like they're catering to the sales force so much. Every time they turn around, it's another commission, another incentive, another cajoling. Do you find that?
I think what happens there is it goes back to what we talked about earlier. The expectations haven't been set, and expectations are this. There's expectations on both sides of the fence. So when I was directly managing a sales force, there were expectations set with them to make sure that our production, we were a manufacturing firm, there were expectations on how the order came in, who they sold to, what type of product it was, et cetera. And in return, if they met that expectation that lined up with the overall corporate goal, they were recognized. I think where people get frustrated is they're not setting two-sided expectations to line up with the overall corporate objective.
And I don't think some people realize when they have contradictory expectations. You know,
so
it just sneaks up
like
on them, and they had no idea they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand we have a caller on the line, Bob from California.
Hi,
you
thank
there?
You for taking my call, Aldon. I'm really enjoying the program, Colleen. There's some wonderful information you're giving us there.
Thank you.
I have a question I'd love to get your input on. A number of my clients are subject to the age-old joke. I ask them, you know, how many people do you have selling for? And and they say, oh, maybe 10% on a good month. The others are taking up space. What are you finding in terms of the new technology of being able to better ascertain the personality style of the buyer and matching that on the part of the salesperson? In other words, if it's, let's say it's a highly analytic sale,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that really counts is data, 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 and the company has recruited, if you will, a classic outgoing personality type person who's trying to warm up that analytic when all they're doing is sitting there and saying, give me the data, give me the data. I'm not
Correct.
Interested in making a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a twofold or maybe even threefold problem. Sometimes what's lacking here is knowledge. So the salesperson isn't even aware of how an analytical buys. And you're absolutely right, Bob. They buy on facts, they want proof, and they want to mitigate risk. And so here a salesperson comes in not reading that they're an analytical, and they're fairly easy to read. They're aloof in the beginning, they're not interested in building rapport, and they're going to start firing questions right away. And until they get those questions asked, then they're not going to settle back into a consultative sales call. So you've got two problems. Companies aren't teaching the salespeople what is an analytical, how do you read them. But then secondly, what I find in most sales organizations is after the knowledge has been taught, it's not tested. So I believe if knowledge is never applied, they can't go out in the real world and take what they've learned in the classroom and actually apply it in front of a live prospect here.
Let me make an observation. I just noticed who Bob is from California. This is Bob Chesney, isn't it?
Yes.
Hi. So you've not recognized his voice. Bob has been on the media for years, and he has a production company in California. And, Bob, that's interesting that you're calling in because you would know about this.
Well,
you deal with people
just,
who are trying
it's such
to...
such a dynamic industry, and
anything yeah.
you can learn and sharpen your axe a little bit, it's a great use of one's time.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you're asking about the folks that are misreading sales, because one of the things that I see is somebody who's a transactional salesperson who knows how to sell stuff is thrown into a position where they're, you know, having to be a consultant, consultative selling.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen, how do you help with people like that are going to Bob and saying, you know, make me a video to make me smarter?
And how do I take someone that's been
Yeah, and how do they magically become this consultative salesperson when they're really into transactions?
Well, the first thing with anybody changing is probably awareness there. I think you'd have to look at it from another kind of 360 point of view. There are some people, and I know some of the viewers aren't going to like hearing this, I believe there's some people, the cognitive skills they bring to the table, they're not really wired to do a consultative sale. So I think companies have to look at if they've got a consultative sales process, complex process, it's intangible, it's going to require some conceptual thinking, you better bring someone on board that has those skills. And that's the first thing. That means the person can do it. Now, if they've got that ability, then it's a matter of teaching them. And they've got to learn how to, as Bob is saying, building rapport with different types of buyers. So what's the difference between a high driver? They want results. High influencer likes the experience. Steady relator doesn't like change. How do you adapt that call? Then how do you set the tone for a consultative call? And there's a whole art form in doing that, and frankly, it's giving the buyer an option. You know, at the end of this call, let's figure out if this is a fit or not. We're real into partnership selling. I don't think you need to drag someone to the sale, and it doesn't need to be one-sided. Let's see if this is going to be a good fit for both of us. And then running a call that, as we call it, makes the prospect's brain hurt. We live in the information age, so a good salesperson knows how to ask questions. A good salesperson going forward needs to know how to make the prospect's brain hurt, that when you leave, you've made them think of things they've never thought of. You've made them think of things that they have gaps of that have never even entered their mind before.
Bob, have you ever seen some bad salespeople?
Yes, but the question I really wanted to ask is it's so rare that you get a chance to get two very, very informed ladies like you to ask these questions of, but what trends are you seeing in terms of the complex sale and the team selling approach? Today it just seems like any decision has to be run by so many people. You know,
mm-hmm.
the old days where you just get to the buyer, give them a low price, and get the deal, those days are over. Now it's a complex sale. Somebody's got to check with somebody, and you can never get two people in the same place at the same time.
Oh, gosh, you're so right. I was selling to a large telecommunications company, and they described it as a single point of contact, and it was a 13-person committee. They call it a SPOC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a joke. Colleen, what do you do about that? Because people are having enough trouble selling to one person.
Well, there's a couple of things, and, you know, Bob, I'll back it up right to the beginning of the call. How do you even gain entry into that account? And one of the things I've seen is people have got to get very, very good at developing referral relationships and partnerships. And this isn't the old-fashioned way where it said, can you give me three names and would you be willing to give me a call of introduction? This means spending time with people that are calling on your prospects. Maybe you don't have they have a non-competing interest, but really developing that relationship to even gain entry into that account. Then you've got to have a referral strategy once you enter the account. So you may come in with someone that's experiencing the pain, but they're not the economic decision maker. Or you hit the economic decision maker, they're not the power player. But how do we coach those allies to get these different meetings set up to find out each decision maker's pain? And going back to what Bob said, what's their personal decision style? Because when people make decisions in corporations, we see that there's corporate pain and we see that there's personal decision style. So I've got to know how to solve the corporate pain and then what's their personal decision style and bring in a solution that hits all 13 people if that indeed is what's making that decision.
Gosh, Colleen, don't you find that some salespeople just get fed up with that and say, I'm never going to be able to figure out what motivates 13 people, and they shut down?
Well, you know, that's probably someone that scores low on problem solving. Okay? So that's where, in a complex sale, I'll go back to hire the right person. Because in a complex sale, it's going to take a good problem solver. It's going to take someone that's going to stick with it, have a lot of initiative. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, it has become the way of the world. And I think, Bob, we saw more of it after 9/11, where more and more decision makers got involved because they didn't want one person signing off on the check making the decision.
The other thing we're finding that really works is when you can identify that internal champion,
mm-hmm.
let them clear the minefields for you because they're the ones who know the inside information and,
right.
and can pretty much set the... I hear so many people saying, well, gee, how do I know who's the real key person on that committee? And that champion that brought you into the deal typically is the one who knows where the mines are.
Mm-hmm.
And can say, here's how we have to sell X, here's how we have to sell Y, here's how we have to sell Z.
Correct.
And can usually guide you if you can cultivate that relationship.
And we call that, you know, coaching the champion or coaching the ally. So we actually teach some of our clients how to teach them to teach their ally to sell for them. So what are the questions they need to uncover? Because you may have someone that loves what you do, they simply don't know how to sell what you do. So there may be X amount of questions that are appropriate depending on the account, the various decision makers involved. So you're absolutely right.
I know it took me too long to learn to do that. There were times when I was going into corporations and the people were excited about what they'd done with us, and I didn't want to presume to give advice to the person who was being, you know, big enough to bring us in. And so I think some of the listeners probably can identify with this reticence that you can have. Going in, you know, you have a vice president of an organization that's bringing you in, and you don't want to presume to tell them how to sell to their CEO, but they really do need instruction about what are the pain points, what are the questions, how would they know they needed an outside assistance, why you versus someone else. They
mm-hmm.
need the prompting because that's not their normal role, you know, to sell you to someone else. That's
correct.
What you need
so
to do.
So sometimes what that is almost called a brief. You know, you stated one of the issues. What will you say when they're saying, why choose Aldana over Joe? How will you handle this objection? Why will they want to pay more for your services than a company that looks like they're offering the same thing, but they're not? So what you do is you coach the person, because what I don't want happening is the first time for them to hear the question and try to process the response, be in front of the person they're trying to sell you into.
Okay, at this point, we're going to take another break. But we will be back in a few minutes to finish up our conversation with Colleen Stanley and Bob Chesney on how to improve your sales process. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio.
When business is in your blood and you need answers, get connected. Call 1-866-233-7861.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Think you've got a grip on the profit potential your property has? Tune in to VoiceAmerica.com Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning. Dennis will teach you the ins and outs of the massive world of real estate. You will learn the rewards and pitfalls of why to invest in commercial real estate. You'll also hear from experts in property management, lending, title work, tax-deferred exchanges, legal issues, and many entrepreneurial investors. The best part? You'll learn to generate a regular income that'll lead to enticing capital gains. So don't miss one moment of Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'll remind you that we are going through different growth strategies each week, including things like franchising and geographic expansion, diversification, strategic alliances, and today we are talking about improving your sales process. And our guest is Colleen Stanley, and we were lucky enough to have a call-in guest as well, Bob Chesney of Chesney Communications in California. And Bob, I think you had one more question to ask of Colleen.
Yes, I'm just dying to ask this because out here we have a basketball team you may have heard of called the Lakers, and they ran into some team chemistry issues. And I'm just curious, what are you seeing out there in your worlds that I can take back to my clients in terms of building a sales team versus a sales superstar?
Oh, great question.
Well, here's what I've seen with the sales team. You know, part of it is what's the culture of the company. And if the company's rewarding independence, so not only from a management style, compensation style, I always find that people are going to behave in a manner in which they're incentivized. So one of the things when you're taking a look at team, what's the reward for being a team player, but what's the disincentive for not being a team player? There's an old saying, bad behavior doesn't occur in a vacuum. So sometimes unknowingly companies are fostering a very independent, the lone ranger mentality, when indeed what the company needs is a team mentality.
Boy, I can think about some times in developing my different companies over the years where enthusiasm of the lead people made such a difference, because otherwise you had these lone wolves that would go out and do their programs and come back all cocky. And when someone like myself that would go out on a team sale and someone else would be, you know, closing the deal, and you get back into the car and you're sitting in the parking lot, you get into the car and you go, yes, got it. And both of you are doing that. And there is a joy and celebration for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and their achievement, and they're landing it, and they're figuring something out, and that celebration of somebody else's success is very infectious, it's contagious, and it comes back into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really found that some of those tandem calls where the primary role that I've had or some of the other mentors have had is the celebration of the people learning,
mm-hmm.
help that team spirit quite a bit, kind of diffuse the lone wolf out there trying to solve it and show off that they did it, but act like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Not normal. They should be excited about closing a big deal.
Well, for whatever it's worth, ladies, I'm a technology freak on uses of it, not opposed to, as opposed to the gee whiz aspect. But for example, in his team selling, we've got a client now who carries with them their laptop, which everyone does, but they've got a beautiful little camera. It's one of these $99 webcams, and on the sales call, they say, "Would you mind if we can bring in our chief of quality control to participate in this meeting?" And with one click, that person is right there. You can see their picture, and he can actually see back at the home office the people in the meeting. And it's all done with a wireless, what they call Wi-Fi, which you're very familiar with. And that's the kind of team thing that I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
where smart companies are saying, gee, if we've got this kind of firepower, let's integrate them into the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
I've seen people, Bob, out of the tech world, and let's say they're going to do a handoff where customer service is going to be handling kind of the maintenance of the account. It's more of a distribution manufacturing company. They'll actually bring this customer service person out or bring the new client into the office, give them the tour, introduce them face-to-face, so now the person they're talking to has a face and a relationship, which has made some of those handoffs a little bit easier.
And personally, I think that selling is a sport. It's like a game. And any kind of game needs celebration. It needs a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
It needs coaching for the skills to develop over time. And I think when some people lose the joy of the hunt, they lose the joy of the game, a team spirit goes down as well as an individual spirits go down.
Mm-hmm.
I think business is definitely a sport. Well, I'd like to thank both of our guests. We got lucky and ended up with two. Colleen Stanley of Sales Leadership Incorporated in Denver, Colorado. And she can be reached, let me make sure I'm saying this right, www.salesleadershipdevelopment.com. And Bob Chesney, you're a bonus. We thought, we had Bob from California calling in with a question, but we got Chesney Communications with us. Your website, tell us that.
The day I can't learn something from smart people is a wasted day in my
work. Hey, it's a bonus. I'll take it. And your website?
Is videocc.com.
I appreciate that. I'm going to wrap up with a couple of comments about sales. One of the reasons that we had Colleen on the program today is that I have seen so many people complain about selling and not really address it. And it starts with the recruitment of the people and matching them with the company, looking at your compensation and incentives to see that you're not feeling like you're throwing money away and just giving incentives to somebody that's an order taker. It really is a difference between order taking and selling. Taking a look at the territories and the assignments that you give somebody to make sure that they fit, that your goals and your quotas make sense. So many people have such a low quota that there's no incentive, and others have such impossible quotas that it's setting a salesperson up to fail. Having tracking systems that communicate instead of just feeling like mindless paperwork, and support and leadership to give the salespeople a chance to succeed. These are all things that take time. It takes a rhythm to develop them, but half the fun of doing business is to make sure that they're all done in a way that's consistent and compatible for your company. I thank everybody for listening today. Next week, we're going to be talking about a different growth strategy. I always invite your comments and questions. Go to my website at www.thegrowthstrategist.com. Say what kind of company you are, the size of the business, and the kind of question that you'd like us to address. And you certainly can call in at any week that you're listening. We are on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.